Hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining us for our ninth Hope Canteen podcast. My name is Steve London, pastor at St. Thomas Anglican Church. And as always, I'm joined today by Michael Rolfe, assistant priest here, and as well with Stephanie London, who's also a priest here and at St. Columba. So this week, we are taking a stab at a new format. We are Zooming this format, and we are going to see how it goes for now and for future reference. But let's see how we're doing. Michael, how are you doing this week? We've been doing this for about 9 weeks. Kind of crazy. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. We've had a family discussion and decided that we can open our doors a little bit so that at least my son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren can get together with the two of us. And that lifts a huge burden, really. It puts smiles on all our faces. So we're really enjoying that.
That's really nice. Yeah. How about you, Stephanie?
Yeah, good. It was nice this week. I got to go out with a couple of the kids and do some planting and build a very, very basic composter in the backyard. And I think when no one knows where the church is going and what things are going to look like after all of this, it's nice to know that I can still go and put a seed in the soil and it will probably grow, and I can put clippings in a pile and they will probably rot. So there's a little bit of a reassurance there.
Nature just keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm kind of two different things kind of symbolize where I am. On the one hand, I've been in contact, the bishop has been in contact with us about all the different things we have to do to make sure in place before we can even think about opening the church. And so that is a little bit overwhelming. On the other side, my wife, Stephanie, I'm very grateful, took it upon herself to get it fixed, and it came back. And so have been able to go out bike riding with the family. And that has been a huge blessing this week for us to go around our neighborhood. So that's been really nice. So this week on our podcast, we are looking at a very different gospel reading today. If you would like to read it for yourself, you can pause the podcast at this moment. It is the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and then just six short verses, 15 to 21. Again, John 14, 15 to 21. And if I were to talk about it, there's actually not much to tell. It's a very short gospel reading this week. We pick up where we left off last week in John 14. Jesus continues his talk. And in this passage, we get a very unique promise from Jesus. He knows, of course, that he's about to be crucified. And the disciples in the midst of that are going to be confused, shocked, traumatized by everything. But he gives them this promise that he will not leave them alone. He says he's not going to orphan them, but that he's going to give them an advocate to be with them forever. Well, what in the world does this mean? I am so glad again that I am joined by Stephanie and Michael to help us figure this out. Maybe Stephanie, I'll start with you and ask you, what does this mean, an advocate?
Okay, so this word advocate or helper, which refers to the Holy Spirit, it comes from a Greek word that you may have heard translated as paraclete. And the Greek word behind that means one who is called alongside. So it's a legal meaning. It's the person who might be alongside of you and advocate for you and help you along in a court of law. And in the biblical text, it also carries the meaning of one who consoles, a comforter, and a counselor. And there's an interesting little word thrown into this reading, another advocate. So Jesus says, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And that implies that there has actually been a first advocate. And that one is Jesus. This advocate that Jesus is promising, the Holy Spirit, is the presence of Jesus that isn't going away when Jesus ascends to heaven. And it's also part of the promise that we read in verse 18, not to leave us orphaned or abandoned when Jesus leaves, but this other advocate will come and be Jesus going forward for us.
Wow, that would be really encouraging.
One of the commentators points out that the Gospel of John came together towards the end of the first century, so that came together in the community where most of the people probably never knew Jesus when he was on earth. And so this encounter that he had with the apostles must have been the sort of thing that they talked about constantly in the community, that he had reminded them that they would have this companionship relationship, which of course is why it's such an appealing passage for us to read at this time in history.
Right, because we've actually never known Jesus in that way. Absolutely. So we're sort of in that same position as the early Johannine community.
Yeah.
Why do you think we're reading it at this time in the lectionary season?
Well, I think because we're coming up on the ascension when next week, mm-hmm. when Jesus will leave his followers in his physical body and go up. So looking forward to ascension, we have this promise that will be fulfilled in ascension and Pentecost, which are in the next couple of weeks.
Right. Yeah, we're gearing up for the season of the Holy Spirit, for Pentecost, for ascension. Yeah, very, very profound stuff. One of the things that I found a little bit, always find interesting about this reading is that he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, in none of the Gospels, and John especially, does he ever give, as I have found, a list of commandments. The only time he really says the word commandment is when he says, I give you a new commandment, that you yeah. love one another. So it seems in an odd way, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commandment, which is that you will love one another. I always find that really interesting. And that part of that love is, of course, he will be sending this advocate to be with us forever.
I heard someone talking about this reading kind of as nesting dolls.
Oh, okay.
If you love me, you'll keep my commandment, which is to love me and to love others. Like they're all kind of stacked up.
Yeah. That actually would echo what that verse 20, that also feels like nesting dolls. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and then you are in me. But then the bigger nesting doll goes in and then I will be in you. But it is interesting, yeah. of course, all this language of relationship, the advocate, which is, I think you said, Stephanie, right? That means called alongside. So the one who walks alongside of us. And then we have this image of Jesus and the Father living within us. And he has this image of Jesus coming to us and living together. So it's all very profoundly relational.
And this is the Trinitarian God coming out here. And that's at God's heart is relationship.
Steve, I think it's important to realize to pay attention to what you just said about the commandments, because in morning prayer not too long ago we were reading the Ten Commandments, and when people hear that term commandments, we automatically assume that, well, Jesus must be talking about the Ten Commandments, but no, he's not. He's talking about the new commandment, mm-hmm. which is both difficult and simple. It's just love me, love Jesus, and love others, love yourself. Mm-hmm. These are the commandments that Jesus has given us.
Well, and of course, he actually, I mean, echoing different verses in the Old Testament, he's in this tradition that all those commandments you just talked about, the Ten Commandments, the whole purpose for them, what sums them up, the law and the prophets, is this commandment to love God and to love neighbor, that there's something about the commandments that point towards deep, profound relationship. And that is the purpose. And he is revealing the end goal of that, which is, of course, yes, love. Mm-hmm. But a very particular kind of love. What do you think about Jesus' understanding of love?
It seems to be love that has total devotion attached. You have to be totally devoted to Jesus, love, and then to be a loving person just as he was loving. Mm-hmm. There's no gray area here. It's you have to love Jesus and you have to be a loving person yourself. That's what he's calling for.
Yeah, I think, and when you do that, it's a transforming love. One of my favorite stories about this is actually St. Francis. He's, this is of course a 12th century medieval man who's trying to figure out the way of loving Jesus. And in front of him is a individual they said is a leper, a leprosy, and they were always seen on the edge of society. And St. Francis was frozen with fear because he had to go around this man and he was not willing to go near him. And then he felt Jesus' call that you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said in that moment, he realized what love was, and he found the strength and ability to go up and hug this man and actually help him. And in that moment, he learned a greater love than he was able to just naturally do. To me, that's what the advocate is, the one who gives us strength in those moments to do what we need to do, to grow in our love, to be transformed, to go that next step and direction in the way of Jesus.
The Bible sets love in opposition against fear rather than against hate. And it seems to me in that story of St. Francis, he was choosing to love even when he was afraid. In a sense, he was setting aside his fear and self-protectedness in order to love the person in front of him.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the way of discipleship. As we slowly grow into maturity in Jesus Christ, we are continually pushed to bigger acts of love and courage for the kingdom of God. I think that's the importance of this advocate, because they are going to be left alone, but Jesus is going to walk with them. He is going to be with them. And through them, they're going to build for the kingdom of God.
In talking about his commandment to love, he's not really laying a heavy trip on them at that point. He's talked about this in the past. This mm-hmm. is a passage of consolation. It's a passage which picks up on the anxiety in the community. He's told them that he's going to be leaving. Oh, no. But he says, don't worry about it, because you will have my companionship in a new way. The advocate is coming to be with you. And though I might leave, the advocate will never leave.
That's a great point, Michael. And that reminds me that an older translation of that word paraclete used to be called the comforter. People would refer to the Holy Spirit as the comforter.
Mm-hmm. And it is a great comfort to have this passage, because I'm sure we've all heard people who say that they feel abandoned by God. And this is answering that and saying God actually is not abandoning us. And it's something that people can maybe rely on when they feel abandoned. You could say, take this by faith and say that no, God has promised not to abandon us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually going to go ahead and make that move, Stephanie. I appreciate asking, you know, we take this small little passage and what it meant for the disciples, but asking what it means for us today. Echoing what you said, I think the translation of helper might be particularly apropos today. You know, each as we find ourselves in our apartments or our houses or wherever we are, we might feel, I know I do, some of the nervousness and stress about what's coming, like how are we going to reopen and how are we going to do all this. And for me, in my daily prayer, just after I've done my reading for the day, I find it so important to just sit for a few minutes in silence. And I do find that helper there. I come out of it renewed again and ready to go at it again.
I have to say, I was amused earlier today. I drove past the church, and I see that the sign at the front of the church now tells us that God makes house calls.
Right.
And that's sort of what this is about, isn't it? That God will be with us. Don't look to this building here as the only place where God resides, but God is with us and will be with us throughout the difficulties of this time. God is making house calls all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, as I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is to spread the life of God outside of just the person of Jesus and his immediate followers. But the Holy Spirit takes that and is not bound by walls and by physical form, but spreads it around, so that God now can be just as present in our homes and in our rooms and in our lives than as Jesus was physically to the disciples when he was physically on earth.
Yes, I think following both of those, I have really been, in a sense, hearing this message. Like you said, Michael, don't rely too much on this building. Don't rely too much on these structures. God is not dependent on them, like you said. The gospel will continue to go forward. I think every time we listen to the Spirit, every time we reflect God's light to someone else who needs that, I think the kingdom of God is there, sometimes even more
so. Definitely, yep.
So this is a profoundly encouraging passage. Any final thoughts as we get ready to close?
When you recalled the story of St. Francis, I have to admit, I have a particular connection with the healthcare providers. And the same thing is happening. I mean, we're praising those who are healthcare providers. They're driven in a very visible way by the love of Jesus Christ. They may not acknowledge that, but they're caring for people who are very, very ill, and maybe they're not lepers, but we almost treat them in our minds that way at times. But these people go and they provide care for those who need it most right now. And I'm quite convinced that God goes with them into mm-hmm. into those rooms.
That's a really good example of the kind of love we were talking about that Jesus is asking of us in the new commandment, that it's not the kind of love that says, or when people say, as I'm sure you've all seen on the news, right, we have to open the world up because I want a haircut. That kind of love is something that says, no, I'm going to put my needs aside or my fears aside, and because my vocation and my call is to love these people.
If you love me, you will keep my commandment. And my commandment is love one another. Love. Well, that is a great place to start. Thank you, Michael and Stephanie, so much for joining me today as we explored this passage of John 14. We will see you again next week. It will be the Feast of the Ascension, and we will be exploring the question of, well, what is that, and why is that important for our Christian lives? But until then, till next time, we sign off and say goodbye, and have a great week.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.